and Grand Rising family, thanks for waking up with us on this Thursday morning at 16 minutes away from the top of the hour with our guest, Professor Edward Robinson, the teacher at Morgan State University. We're talking sports. Before we go back to him, though, just want to remind you, later this morning, we're going to speak with Grill Professor James Small. He's going to, you know, imply what the significance is of the 100th anniversary of Black History Month. But before we hear from Professor Small, Neely Fuller's son, Mark, along with Robert Gatewood, who hosted Mr. Fuller's website, going to join us as well. And tomorrow's Friday, when we invite you to join us for our Open Phone Friday program.
50 WOL, Washington, D.C. 95.9, W240DJ, WMMJ, HD3, WDCJ FM, HD3, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
All right, family, let's turn our attention now to our next guest, two guests, Mark Fuller, who's Neely Fuller's son, and also Robert Gatewood. Robert, who hosted Mr. Fuller's website. So, fellas, Grand Rising, welcome to the program.
Grand Rising.
Let me start with Mark first. Mark, tell us something about your dad. What was he like? Because we knew him on the radio, and we sort of lionized him. He spoke truth to power for many of us. You know, he told us and taught us things. He wouldn't tell us. He taught us things about the code. He made us sure that the other folks stay on code. You know, it's he didn't come out and say straight up race first and all of that like Garvey did. But he says we have to have a code to kind of balance what they're doing. Did he talk about much like that in the home?
Yes, very much so. He believed that Black people should have what he believed, what he called a code of conduct. What do you do on a daily situation under the system of white supremacy? He wanted it to be based on logic and not emotion. He felt that Black people in general react to white supremacy emotionally, based on how they feel. And so he wrote this book as kind of a manual. The United Independent Compensatory System of Thought, Speech, and Action. And he intended it to be a code of conduct.
Right. It was a workbook. And Robert, you hosted his website. Did he talk to you much about the code as well?
Well, good morning again, Carl. I had the pleasure of, I would call it sitting at the feet of Mr. Fuller for the last 5 years before he passed away. And so I had the pleasure and honor of listening to practically all of his shows because I was his engineer as well. And so many of the things he talked about, it was actually an extension of the three books that he wrote. He wrote the book, the original book in 1984. Then he wrote a word guide in 2010. Then he wrote the expanded edition in 2016. So not only did he talk to me, but he spoke to the audience very eloquently up until his really last days. He did the last show on his podcast back in December of 2024. So he wasn't just speaking to me, but he was speaking to an audience of listeners who were happy and honored to be rewarded with his wisdom. And so, but he spoke in so many ways about injustice, and he had his famous quote about what justice was about, was making sure that nobody is mistreated and making sure that those that need help the most receive the most constructive help. And that was one of his guiding principles, not only in his show, but in his daily life.
Are the podcasts still available, Robert?
The podcast, that's the other good thing, Carl. We have five, when I worked with him as the engineer, we had an archive of 5 years of his shows, which you can get by going to producejustice.com. They're all on the website. And he talked on a variety of topics. He talked about Martin Luther King. He talked about Black History Month. He talked about protests. He talked about politics and the nine areas of activity. So it's a good listen, particularly during this Black History Month, to go back to producejustice.com and just go to the archive and just listen to his shows. And they're phenomenal. And we do the show, by the way, every Tuesday at 9 a.m. We're still ongoing doing the show. We're going into the second year of doing the show since his passing. Myself and Mr. Bobby, who was also his co-host, we do the show every Tuesday. Matter of fact, a good listen would be the show we did on Tuesday, where we talked about his legacy, and the week before that we talked about his views on Black history, and of course before that we talked about his views on Martin Luther King. So it's a good listen to anybody who wants to get a real feel of what Mr. Fuller was actually about. He had his books, but I consider his spoken word an extension of the code itself.
Yeah, 10 after the top, they have family, Mark Fuller, Neely Fuller's son, and also Robert Gatewood, who hosted his website and his podcast. They're with us this morning. We're talking about Neely Fuller, made his transition a year ago. And Mark, you know, Robert mentioned something about how he dealt with people who disagree with him. Let me share with you brothers this. He was on the air with us, and somebody called up about Sharpton, and I've told the story before, and he said, Sharpton's this, and Sharpton's that, and he did this, and he was all upset and emotional, and he asked his dad, Mark, he says, well, what do you think? And he says, Mr. Sharpton said what he said. And the guy was, what was he? Mr. Sharpton said, and then he went on. Mr. Sharpton said what he said. And because I knew that was going to be the response. It's trying to get Black people to understand how to deal with each other. Did you go through a lot with that on the personal level as father and son, Mark?
No, we were pretty much on the same page. When it came to the issue of white supremacy and, you know, in general, I think my only initial problems I had with the concept was the term itself, white supremacy. I think, like for most Black people, it's a term that emotionally rubs you the wrong way. And, I was thinking, well, supreme, I mean, I just don't feel comfortable with that. And he used to explain. He says, all right, well, what word would you prefer? And, you know, I said, well, prejudiced or, you know, unjust. He said, no, you have to say what it is. If you can't acknowledge the problem, you can't solve the problem. And you have to use a term that's very specific. It's not enough just to say the system or prejudice or make it about an individual. He always saw it as an entire system, a global system. And you have to use the correct terms. And once he explained it to me in that context, then I gradually came around.
All of us, it takes a while for, you know, to understand what it is. The system of racism, white supremacy, people would parse until about supreme, and that's where people get hung up, and it all explained. It's the system of racism, white supremacy. Robert, you talked to him a lot about this. What did he say about that?
Well, one thing that he said, Carl, was that he said that he felt that all victims of racism deserve to be heard. And that their opinions mattered. Matter of fact, he coined a phrase, an acronym called VGQ, which stands for Victim Guaranteed Qualification. In other words, don't argue, because he was very against non-constructive activity. So when you have Black people, non-white people arguing against each other, it's caused confusion, and it was very non-constructive. So he understood this. So when you look at somebody agreed with Reverend Al Sharpton, or if somebody else has a different opinion, he said this arguing among each other was counterproductive, it was not constructive, and that's why he took it personally, so much so that he felt he had to come up with a phrase to give people a right to disagree. Because just like Mark said, he didn't like the word supreme. I didn't agree with 100% of anything Mr. Fuller said, but he gave us grace. He gave us the right, in his own opinion, to say, you don't have to agree. Just don't fight about it. And because you have this victim's guaranteed qualification, then he's giving you a pass. So when I do his show, I tell the audience, look, I'm not here to parrot Mr. Fuller. I'm not here to rubber stamp everything he says. I'm not here to argue about it. I'm giving my own opinion. And I think that's the way we should move forward as people, is to not argue against each other, but understand that as victims, we all have a right to speak out of our own experience and how we impacted in this system of racism.
And you know what? That's a key point. Family just checking in, our guest, Mark Fuller, Neely Fuller's son, and also Robert Gatewood, who hosted his website and his podcast. And we're talking about Neely Fuller made his transition a year ago, I think this week last week. But anyway, we're discussing Neely Fuller. One of the things he said that stuck with me about arguing, and Dr. Welsing also emphasized that, we should not argue with each other. If somebody wants to argue with you, goodbye. I'll talk to you later. You know, yeah, it seems like we, as black folks, we have a propensity. They want to debate. They want to argue. And once they start doing that, I'll see you later. We'll talk later. And no hard feelings, but just not going to argue. And I found that very refreshing. Mark Young, mm-hmm. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, no, he wanted black folks to remain focused. The problem is white supremacy. It's not each other. And he firmly believed that going after each other is not going to solve the problem. You have to remain focused. He wanted black folks to remain focused on the issue of white supremacy. And if you remain focused, then there's no need for conflict with each other.
Well said. Robert, pick it up here from there, because this is what he talks about, and he talks about that we're all in a prison, and a mental prison, and we're all fighting amongst each other. We never fight against the warden. We never attack the warden. And he used that to explain to the audience just what Mark said, that the fight is not against each other. We're not, your brother's not your enemy. How did he explain that to you? Because you were new and on a more intimate basis. They were on the radio. It was easier to talk on a podcast. So how did he explain that issue to you?
Well, he spoke often about how we were in this prison camp, and we're just prisoners of war. And I remember this one story he spoke about vividly about how you can't run from this thing. You can't outrun it. And he used analogy of somebody in like a coliseum, like in the old days when the Romans sit around and throw people in the coliseum for entertainment. He says it's like you're in a coliseum and there's a bull chasing you. And he said you can run from that bull as much as you like. You can run. He said at some point you're going to have to turn around and face that bull. He said you're going to get gored anyway, one way or the other. He said, he said very comically, he said, let's turn around and let's wrestle. So he made no bones about the fact that we are in a system and that you can run from it if you wish. But no matter how much you run, you are not going to outrun it. So at some point, you're going to have to turn around and face it and fight this bull called racism and white supremacy. So he was very analogous when he gave examples. And that was the other thing I admired about him as I listened to his show for the past 5 years as he's a producer. Is that he was very vivid. He was an excellent storyteller. You know, nowadays in the current times, you know, with the age of social media, storytelling is a hot thing right now. So I had great appreciation for that, his storytelling ability, because he made it plain. He broke it down. He didn't fancy it up. And that example about the bull was just one of the many anecdotes that he would tell on his shows, like I said, which we can also listen to on his website at producejustice.com.
All right, hold that thought right there. I got some folks want to talk to you already. Family, you want to join this conversation? We're discussing Neely Fuller, the anniversary of his transition with his son, Mark Fuller, and Robert Gatewood, who produced his podcast. You can reach out to us at 800-450-7876, and we'll take your phone calls next. And Grand Rising family, thanks for starting your Thursday with us. We're on with Mark Fuller and Robert Gatewood discussing Neely Fuller Jr. Mark is his son. Robert hosted his podcast, and many of you have heard Neely Fuller here on the radio. He was larger than life for many of us discussing his book, and I just call it Code. That's a short name that he said to the, if you want this book, just search for the code. Before we go, Robert will tell you how you can get the code and how you can get the podcast. They're still doing his podcast in Neely Fuller Jr. Cliff is calling us from Connecticut, has a question for both of you fellas. He's on line 3. Grand Rising Cliff, you're on with Mark and Robert.
Grand Rising Brother Colin, to your guests. The word and the topic of racism has been brought up. And I just want to get a clarification because, Brother Carl, to you and to the guests, white supremacy, white racism, this is a system, correct me if I'm wrong, that benefits white people. so they wouldn't have the existence of white supremacy or white racism if they didn't benefit from it. However, people get confused, black people, thinking that black people can be racist. So if, in fact, that is true, how does black racism benefit black people?
All right. Let's get them to respond. Robert or Mark, you want to respond to Cliff's question? Thank you, Cliff.
Well, I got... Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I just go to the code book. White supremacy means just that, white supremacy. There's no such thing as black supremacy or black racism. Two supremacies cannot occupy the same space, period. It's just a logical conclusion that he came to. And so there is only one system of supremacy, and that's white supremacy.
And Robert, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that. There has been some debate about that. Some people, particularly on the other side, people tend to say, well, anybody can be racist. But when you look at racism at its core, it's a global system that feeds on the mistreatment of others, particularly non-white people. And so people play with those words. They use it as a distraction, something, some way to confuse people. But this racism, some people look at racism as a means to an end, but actually racism is an end of itself. It is built on the mistreatment of people who are non-white. And so Mr. Fuller, and he spoke logic, that racism is white supremacy, and white supremacy is racism.
That's right. You always say, use logic to solve your problems. First, you got to know what the problem is. 24 after the top of the hour with Mark Fuller, Neely Fuller's son, and Robert Gatewood. Robert hosted Neely Fuller's podcast, and they're still available. Bob is reaching out to us. Bob's in Buffalo. He's on line 4. Grand Rising, Bob, you're on with Mark and Robert.
Yes, sir. It's a blessed love family. I think I have an alternative term for white supremacy. That is European domination. European domination. I was wondering what the brothers think of that.
Hey, I tell you what, I actually like the way you're thinking. I like your logic, the way you approach this. And I think we need more of that type of thinking. We don't want to be boxed into one way of thinking. Mr. Fuller didn't like that, and I don't like it. So if you have an approach as a fellow victim, as a fellow person in the prison yard of this global system, I say take that and build upon it. But don't just talk about it. Take it and go do something with it. Mr. Fuller was about action. He was about problem solving. And I would ask anybody who has any suggestions today is to run it through this filter. Is it going to help solve problems? And so your approach to coming up with a different nomenclature for the system, I have a few names of my own that I've thrown out about and I've thrown about, but I encourage that kind of thinking.
Gotcha. 25, the top of our family with Robert Gatewood. You just heard he produces Neely Fuller's podcast, and they're still available. And Mark Fuller, who is his son, and we're discussing Neely Fuller on the anniversary of his transition. Many of you who listened to this program for a while have heard Neely Fuller. And he also talked about justice or true justice. Mark and Robert, to start with Mark first, what is his definition of true justice?
According to the code book, he wouldn't say true justice. He would just say there's only justice and non-justice. And Robert, you can pick up on
yes,
on what he
well, meant. He would state this. Matter of fact, this was part of his signature, one of his signature phrases, his meaning of justice. And it was, and he beat this drum on practically every show, and every time I heard him speak, it came up at some point. He said, justice is about don't mistreat anyone. And he was big about that. This is something he carried not only on the show, but I've heard Mark talk about some of the stories in his daily life, that you don't mistreat people. That was the first part of justice. The second part was to make sure that those who need help the most receive the most constructive help. So I ask people, when you're confronted with what you're seeing taking place now on the national stage, internationally, and run it through the prism of what Mr. Fuller calls justice. If you see what's happening with the dismantling of DEI and the 8A programs and the programs that have been put in place to historically help people who've been disenfranchised and marginalized, you ask yourself, is this justice? And the answer comes back a resounding no. So when you get confused, when you're unsure about what's happening and is justice being served, ask yourself this simple question. Is anyone being mistreated? And are those who need the help the most getting the most constructive help? When you start talking about giving tax cuts to billionaires and people like that, we are actually nationalizing and formalizing injustice in a major way.
All right, let's do that. 28 after top of the hour, Robert. How would he see what the ICE raids now? Because, you know, there's a big discussion in our community whether or not we should sit it out or whether we should support the people who are being affected by ICE raiding them, going into their schools and churches. How do you think Mr. Fuller would see this?
Well, like I said, if I run it through the prism of justice, if you're shooting people in the face, you're shooting people who are protesting, if you're pulling people out of their cars, if you're taking people who are trying to go to school, go to work, that's mistreatment. That's unjust. And according to logic, those things would not be acceptable to Mr. Fuller. Now, what I learned over the years, Carl, is that Mr. Fuller did not speak precisely on every possible topic under the sun, but he laid down a foundation, a framework of how we can overlay and contextualize some of the things that are happening. And I would say, I'm not going to try to speak for Mr. Fuller. I can only speak for his words that he left for us, is that this is mistreatment. This is, and then of course, some people are saying, like you said, Carl, some people are saying, well, we should set this one out. Well, this is not Mr. Fuller talking. This is my talking. That I remember the guy from Germany, Niemöller, who said first they came for the machinists, then they came for this group, they came for that group, till finally they came for me. Don't think by, and I'm not saying go out here and get in the way and have ICE, you know, beat you over the head, because we know that we like, at least in the present, this might not be our fight. But there are other ways we can support what's going on. There's financial support, there's all other types of support without putting yourself on the front line. But this is indeed our fight as well. Because we know that eventually, like the guy Niemöller said, eventually they came for me and there was nobody left to help me out.
All right. 30 minutes at the top of their family. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, he believed in looking at every situation through a series of questions and answers. And he would simply start off with the premise, who are immigrants? He always believed, and you first have to use the correct words. You know, you have to look at the words that are being used, you know, from a white supremacist perspective. Now, when you say immigrants, who are you talking about?
Right.
Is he talking about black people? Who is being deported? Start there. Is it white people or is it non-white people? Just very basic questions. You just start with the very basics. And if you look at the basics, it's obvious. Who's being deported? And there's your answer.
You know what? Yeah, and you know what? Let me ask you this, Mark. Did every issue like that, when as father-son, is that how he dissected it? Or if you had an issue and you go to him, Dad?
Yeah, he was very particular about words and the use of words. He believed in the precision of words. And so words like immigrants, well, we vaguely know what that means, but he always wanted people to look at it from a white supremacist perspective. What is an immigrant? What color are the immigrants? Are they French people? Swedes? Norwegian? Who is being deported? It's just a simple question. And that will lead you to where you need to go and understanding the system of white supremacy.
All right. 28 away from the top there. That's Mark Fuller, Neely Fuller's son, and also Robert Gatewood, who produces his podcast. He's discussing Neely Fuller Jr. this morning. Family, you've heard him here on many times on this program, and this is the anniversary of his transition. That's why we're discussing Neely Fuller Jr. His legacy continues, especially with both of these brothers keeping that legacy going. You know, let me ask Robert, because, you know, at times he talked about Dr. Frances Guest Wilson. She always mentioned Neely Fuller whenever she talked to her. She sort of picked up the baton of racism and white supremacy through the ISIS papers and pushed that out, and she was out in front. But she always credited Neely Fuller for coming up with the phrase and the idea and explaining it to us. And she tried to explain it a little differently, but so that more we could understand it a little more easier. Robert, did he on these podcasts, did he mention Dr. Wilson?
Well, he spoke about Dr. Wesseling, but he was very clear that, and I guess this also goes with his way of thinking, that Dr. Wesseling does what he does. He did what he did. Now, there were instances where there was some concentricity where they overlapped, but he wanted to make a clear distinction that they were working independently and separately of each other, even though there was a mentorship going on. Dr. Wesseling gave Mr. Fuller much credit, many of her ways of thinking, the book she wrote, the ISIS papers. So she had a lot of regard for him, and a lot of people that follow Mr. Fuller also follow Dr. Wilson. And so Mark can probably address that also.
Well, they collaborated. It was actually Dr. Wilson who gave him the idea of actually putting the code together. The original code book was a collection of notes that he carried around in an orange suitcase. And he one day showed it to Dr. Wilson, and she looked it over and she said, you know, you really need to put this in a form of a book. And so he gathered up all his notes and put it together in book form. And that was sort of the genesis of the book form of the code. That really came from Dr. Wilson. She really pushed him to put his ideas in a book form. And so that's how that came about.
I got to ask you this, though, both of you fellas, this. What was his thoughts about recognition and praise, since we were talking about Dr. Wilson? I know he had a lot of respect for Dr. Wilson, but what was his thoughts about, you know, recognition, people seeking recognition, people seeking praise?
Well,
go ahead, Robert.
Well, I would say this. He really warned us about worship, hero worship, because he felt that personality praise actually created confusion. But what he asked us to do instead was to examine the behavior of the person. And if the person made sense, then use it. And if they didn't, discard that. He said no loyalty was required, only logic. And he included himself. He said, don't follow the person. I remember he said that very vividly. Don't follow the person, including himself, because he said he was a fellow prisoner, a fellow victim himself. He said, follow the logic.
Yeah.
He spoke about Martin Luther King. And I will tell an interesting story about Martin Luther King. On the heels of his birthday, somebody called into the show and asked him about what he felt about Dr. Martin Luther King. And the answer kind of surprised me. He said, I was listening to some shows. I think he was listening to Radio 1, I think PBS, and a few other places. And he said, I listened to Dr. King's speeches most of the day. And he said they were absolutely excellent. He loved the speeches. And he said it caused him to do a lot of thinking. Now, he's not praising him, but he said it caused him to do a lot of thinking. And he said we should all listen to Dr. King's speeches, because they were very informative. Matter of fact, he said very, very, very informative, and they were also inspirational. He really admired the fact that Dr. King kept going in spite of the challenges. He said, somebody bombs your house, and you keep on keeping on. So he said because it kept pushing him towards the assignment that his creator had assigned him. He said each of us have an assignment. So he was somewhat not into the hero worshiping camp, but some of the people that he admired, he would speak fondly of, because in many cases it aligned with the way he saw his view of the world.
Right. And hold that thought right there, Robert. We got to step aside and get caught up with the latest news, traffic, and weather in different seasons. When we come back, I'll let you finish your thought. I also want to hear from Mark on that particular issue as well. Family just checking in. Mark Fuller, Neely Fuller's son, who is with us. Robert Gatewood, who produced his podcast, discussing Neely Fuller on the anniversary of his passing. What are your thoughts? 800-450-7876. Get you in. Take your calls after we check the news. That's next.
1450 WOL.
Good morning, folks. I'm Earl Kirk. Here's the latest from News1.com. Americans will suck down millions more chicken wings during this year's Super Bowl than last year's.
In its annual Chicken Wing Report, the National Chicken Council projects Americans will eat 1.48 billion chicken wings during Super Bowl 60. That's around 10 million more wings than last year. Overall, football fans have eaten nearly 20% more wings during this year's NFL playoffs compared to last year. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The man arrested after last year's deadly shooting outside the Capitol Jewish Museum is facing additional charges. The U.S. Attorney's Office Wednesday announced a new indictment for 31-year-old Elias Rodriguez. It adds four counts of acts of terrorism while armed and another charge related to planning the attack. Rodriguez already faces murder and other charges connected to the killings of two Israeli embassy staffers last May. Two more candidates are announcing plans to run for the congressional seat being vacated by retiring Democratic Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer. PG County at-large councilmember Walla Blagay joined the race on Wednesday, saying she plans to campaign on issues like affordable health care and supporting federal workers and contractors. Former U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn also announced his run for the seat on Wednesday. Another case of measles has been discovered in Northern Virginia. Health officials say an adult with symptoms visited several spots in Fairfax County between January 23rd and 31st. That includes the Ian Apartment Complex in Herndon and a Target in Reston. It's the fifth case of measles reported in Virginia already this year. The U.S. House is advancing a bill that would force the D.C. government to accept a package of GOP-supported tax cuts. The bill passed Wednesday by 5 votes. D.C. leaders decided to reject the cuts last year, saying the package would reduce the city's revenue by $600 million. College hoops, Georgetown beat Creighton 76-68. I'm Earl Kirk. When you're looking for news for Black America, go to News1.com.
This report is sponsored by Attorney Big Al, the law office of Richard Klein. Well, it's no surprise we had some melt, the freezing temperatures, the refreeze. We've had a number of accidents this morning. Especially be careful on bridges, ramps, and overpasses. And we still have roads that are under snow and ice that narrow our lanes. Inbound on the Suitland Parkway, just jammed before Branch Avenue, most of the way to Firth Sterling. Pennsylvania Avenue on the brakes before Branch Avenue toward Minnesota Avenue. South of Pennsylvania Avenue, crashes on 27th and Park Place. Attorney Big Al wants you to know, before you talk to the insurance company, call 1-800-HURT-123. They want to pay you nothing. Big Al brings the money truck. 1-800-HURT-123. Attorney Big Al is the law firm of Richard Klein. Now look at your forecast. Mostly sunny skies today. Continue to be cold. High of 35. Tonight's low 14. Current temperature 19 degrees. I'm Jamie Witten for News Talk 1450 AM WOL, where information is power.
You've made it on time for the McDonald's breakfast menu. You think to yourself, finally I can start my day with my perfect breakfast. But what if breakfast could be even more perfect? With the hot honey sausage egg biscuit, it finally is. This won't last forever. So go to McDonald's and get it while you can. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Knock, knock, Capital One Bank guy.
Wow, Charles Barkley?
I just moved into the neighborhood. Can I borrow some Wi-Fi?
Yeah, sure, Chuck. That's what the Capital One Cafe is here for. Open 7 days a week at most locations.
Oh, can I use your ATM? My dog Walker only takes cash.
Anything for a neighbor.
Can I try the cash phrase?
Sure, take it for a spin.
There's no fees or minimums on Capital One checking accounts.
Nice, Chuck. I'll take it from here. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Visit CapitalOne.com/BankGuy for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
This message is brought to you by Trust and Will, an online estate planning service. Visit TrustandWill.com for details.
If you're thinking about what you'll leave behind, Trust and Will can make sure your values live on.
For me, it's beyond money. It's about responsibility. When I pass on, I want my children and grandchildren to be provided for, of course. But I also want their spiritual futures protected. Trust and Will made it easy to make sure that any decision I had to make, in sickness or in death, would reflect the values that I've upheld all my life. And you know what? Trust and Will gave me the peace of mind that my legacy would be more about purpose than possessions.
Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/smart. That's trustandwill.com/smart to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/smart.
Paying extra for tire care is BS. You know, bad service. So at Midas, we're rolling out our BS-free tire guarantee, included with paid installation and tax on every purchase. You'll pay nothing for flat replacements, nada for flat repairs, and zilch for tire rotations every 5,000 miles. That's $0 for all that. So with this limited lifetime tire guarantee, you'll pay a whole lot of nothing compared to what the other guys charge for tire care. That's the BS-free tire guarantee, only at Midas.
Knock, knock, Capital One Bank guy.
Wow, Charles Barkley?
I just moved into the neighborhood. Can I borrow some Wi-Fi?
Yeah, sure, Chuck. That's what the Capital One Cafe is here for. Open 7 days a week at most locations.
Oh, can I use your ATM? My dog Walker only takes cash.
Anything for a neighbor.
Can I try the cash phrase?
Sure, take it for a spin.
There's no fees or minimums on Capital One checking accounts.
Nice, Chuck. I'll take it from here. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Visit CapitalOne.com/bankguy for details. Capital One and name member FDIC.
Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
And Grand Rising family, happy Thursday to you. We're discussing Neely Fuller Jr., made his transition a year ago. This week, with us, we have his son, Mark Fuller, and also Robert Gatewood, who did his podcast. Before we go back then, let me just remind you, of course, we've got to offer our condolences to the family, the friends, and the fans of Lamont McLemore, one of the founding members of the Fifth Dimension. He's also a professional photographer as well. He made his transition 2 days ago. Lamont McLemore was 90 years young. Coming up later this morning, we'll speak with Grill, Professor James Small. And, of course, tomorrow's Friday. We're going to give you a chance to free your mind. All that means is just think for yourself. You can reach us at our Open Phone Friday program. We start promptly at 6 a.m. Eastern time right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also on the DMV on 1450 WOL. All right, before we left, we were discussing Neely Fuller, what he thought about Dr. King. So, Robert, I'll let you finish your thought. And, Mark, you can chime in as well if you want.
Thank you, Carl. First, I want to send my condolences to the family of Lamont McLemore. Sorry to hear about that. As I was saying, Carl, you asked about praise and recognition. Basically, what Mr. Fuller, this is what I took from what he said, is that if what the person said makes sense, then use it. But you don't praise the person. And I use Dr. King as the example. He was very appreciative of the fact that Dr. King was very inspirational, and he was just keep on keeping on. And he brought up the example of how somebody would bomb your house and you still keep on going. So he was selective. He didn't just praise people, but if you did something that was worthy of recognition or he thought was useful, then you do that. But this blanket praise of somebody who just because they have a big name or they're what some people might call a fandom. He was not in favor of that at all.
All right, Mark, you want to add anything?
Yeah, he didn't really believe in the cult of personality. He felt that it was perfectly fine to acknowledge the work of black people such as Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, but he felt that too much emphasis was put on celebrating the person and not focusing on the problem that they were trying to solve.
Right.
The reason why these men and women are iconic is because they took on a job that nobody wants. You know, black people want to do all sorts of things. What they don't want to do is tackle a system of white supremacy, because it's a big problem. And it's a problem that can get you killed. And there's no money in it. So when someone like Dr. King comes along and says, I'll take that job, I'll take on white supremacy, I will try to do my best to eliminate white supremacy, black people understand that that is an awesome task. And that's why we admire him, because nobody wants that job. Wow. But he felt you should focus on the fact, focus on what the problem he was trying to solve. It's okay to celebrate the person, but it should dovetail immediately into picking up the baton of what he was trying to solve. Not just to simply say he was a great man and then you clap and sit down.
Right.
All right, gotcha. Mark, I got Robert, I got a tweet question. Tweeter said, Grand Rising, to your guest, I am a follower of Neely Fuller Jr., and one of the hardest things I find is when I tell people about his famous quote. They find it difficult to comprehend. I understand it and often quote it, but others find it difficult. Could you break it down in its clearest terms what he meant? And that is his famous quote, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, everything you think you understand will only serve to confuse you. Is there a way to explain that quote more clear for the people who don't understand? He says, thanks for the answer. That's the tweeter. Mark or Roger, you want to?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at that. Well, and I look at this as we meander through our daily lives, we are confronted with sometimes mountains of problems. Sometimes we're beating our heads against the wall. We're scratching our heads. We're trying to figure out why certain things are happening. So you may look at the TV. You scream at the TV. I don't understand why such and such. I don't understand why they are doing that. I don't understand this, that, and the other. But what this quote basically is saying is that the reason you might not understand it is because you don't understand the power and impact of this system of racism, because at the root of many of the problems that we have, whether it's the election, whether it's politics, whether it's economics, whether it's education, you go through the nine areas of activity. The underlying cause of many of the problems that we see on a day-to-day basis can be laid right at the foot of racism. And so that's the way I interpret that phrase. If you don't understand how it works, then the thing that you thought you understood are only going to confuse you. And so that's the way I break it down. And I apply it to my daily life, because sometimes I'm looking at something myself and saying, and I hear people saying this to me, I don't understand this. I'm saying to myself, I understand, because I understand the impact and the power of racism.
What about you, Mark?
Well, it goes back to what he always said in the code book, the use of words. You have to first use the correct terminology. White supremacy is racism. Racism is white supremacy. That's what he wrote in the book. And what that does, it focuses the mind. It keeps you focused. And once you stay focused on the problem, then you can solve the problem. But if you're not using the correct words, if you're using vague terms like discrimination, inequities, prejudice, well, that can mean just about anything. But he put it on the cover of the book. Victims of racism, white supremacy. That keeps you focused. It gives you clarity on what you're dealing with.
Let me ask you fellas this, nine away from the top here. Not everybody agreed with Mr. Fuller. So how did he relate to people who disagreed with him? Robert, I'll let you go first.
BGQ.
BGQ. He made it simple. Victims guarantee qualification. And because we would be doing the show, and some people would call in. I remember one day, and he talked about this. We talked about it several occasions. This lady called in, and she just let us have it. I mean, she was using all kind of foul language. And So Mr. Bobby, the co-host, he asked, well, should we cut her off? And so I'm back in the engineering booth. I say, so we asked Mr. Fuller. I put him on, put everybody on hold, let the show go on. But in the background, I asked Mr. Fuller. He said, put her on. He said, she is a victim, and she has the right to say what she has to say. So he was very plain about that. BGQ, all victims of this system have a right to redress the problems they have and how they plan to resolve it.
Yeah, but Mark, many of us don't know we're victims, though. Is that the issue? Is that the starting point? You got to recognize that you're a victim?
Yeah. You first have to recognize you're a victim. And I know that's difficult for people to acknowledge, you know, victim, white supremacy. It emotionally rubs black people the wrong way. You know, I'm not a victim. And it's okay, fine. If you figured out a way to not be subject to this system, then you should let people know so we can be done with this problem. Because it's not enough just to simply say, I'm not a victim. You have to solve the problem. You know?
Yeah. That's deep right there, what you just said. And you're absolutely correct. Because they say, I'm not a victim. White people are not supreme over me. They go down that road. Are they missing entirely what your dad was trying to convey?
Well, it's like saying, I don't have cancer. It's like, all right, you don't have cancer, but millions of people do. That doesn't solve the problem. You know, you can't look at it simply as an individual thing. He saw it as a global system that will affect you either directly or indirectly. But just to simply say, I individually don't have this problem, does not solve the problem.
Nicole, I look at it as the difference between victim and victimhood. Because if somebody shot you, you're a victim, whether you care to jump up and run around and say, it didn't hurt me, I'm going to keep moving. If you're shot, you're shot. Now, some people handle it differently. Some people languish in victimhood, and they make excuses, and it immobilizes them, while other people may take it and use it as a stepping stone. So, but that does not take away from the fact you are a victim. If you're in this system, there's a good likelihood that you're going to be victimized at some point. There's almost 100% chance if you're born into this system. But how you deal with it is an individual approach. You can language in victimhood, or you can move forward, get up, dust yourself off, and move forward. And I encourage people, don't language in victimhood. But you have to admit the fact, that doesn't take away from the fact that you are a victim.
Right, and in the code book, it's written under the assumption that the problem is solvable. Right. That's the key thing to understand. He was, at the end of the day, he was very optimistic about this problem being solved. So there's no reason to feel, if you are a victim, there's no reason to feel any kind of despair or hopelessness about it, because he wrote the book because he felt that anything that could be put together by man could be taken apart.
Wow. Hold on, Phil, right there. We've got to check traffic and weather in different cities. Nearly Fuller Jr., he heard from the voice of his son. He says, we can solve the racism problem. He says, we've got to find the solution. And he's given us the roadmap through his book, The Code. But when we come back, I want to ask you, fellas, about what he said, about how he feels about white folks. Because somebody called in once when he was here and asked him if all white people are racist. And I'll share with you what he said when we get back. Family, you too can get in on this conversation with Mark Fuller, his Neely Fuller's son. Also, Robert Gatewood is with us. Robert has put together the Neely Fuller's podcast. It's still available. You know how to reach him right now, though. Just hit us up at 800-450-7876. And we'll take phone calls after we check the traffic. That's next. We'll be right back.
taxes was waiting on the refund you needed yesterday.
All right, your car repair is going to run about $3,000.
Ugh.
Now taxes is getting back on the road with TurboTax and Credit Karma, where you can get your refund up to 5 days faster and get personalized guidance to take every dollar further. Now this is taxes. Intuit Credit Karma with TurboTax. Deposit a federal refund into Credit Karma money account and early submission of refund data by IRS required. Terms apply. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Credit Karma is not a bank.
Knock, knock, Capital One Bank guy.
Wow, Charles Barkley?
I just moved into the neighborhood. Can I borrow some Wi-Fi?
Yeah, sure, Chuck. That's what the Capital One Cafe is here for. Open 7 days a week at most locations.
Oh, can I use your ATM? My dog walker only takes cash.
Anything for a neighbor.
Can I try the cash phrase?
Sure, take it for a spin.
There's no fees or minimums on Capital One checking accounts.
Nice, Chuck. I'll take it from here. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Visit CapitalOne.com/bankguy for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Are you ready to take your small biz to the next level? At the UPS Store, we have the key to unlock a world of possibilities. We'll sign for your packages and protect them from porch pirates. We'll send text straight to your phone so you're in the loop for new deliveries and give your small biz the street cred it deserves with a real street address. So what are you waiting for? Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
WOL, Washington, D.C. 95.9 W240 DJ WMMJ HD3 WDCJ FM HD3 and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
The Carl Nelson Show.
You're rocking with the most awesome miss.
All right, let's go.
Grand Rising family, thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning with our guest, Mark Fuller, his son of Neely Fuller Jr., also Robert Gatewood. Robert put together his podcast and discussing Mr. Fuller on the anniversary of his passing. Many of you have listened to Neely Fuller over the years, and these two fellows, they know him better than most of us do. My question, though, before we left for the traffic and weather update, I was telling you, someone called in and asked him if all white people are racist. And his response, and let me see if you he said this similar, have these similar conversations with you fellas. He says that they are until they prove themselves. Robert, your thoughts. Did he ever get questions like that on his podcast?
Yeah. That was a frequent question on the show. And he had, that was probably one of the most probably divisive topics of the show, because there were people who had strong feelings on both sides. He did, like you said, he said, and I'm just, a lot of this is interpreting what he said. He said, all white people are not racist, but they're suspect until they can prove otherwise. And he had some strong feelings about, I think he had a symbiotic relationship with white people. He gave them a lot of credit for being smart. And that may have been one of the areas where, I won't say they're not smart, but I think one of the areas where we kind of departed was that I think they've given them a little too much credit. I think that some of them, particularly the racists, are more diabolical than smart. And they're smart people in every group. Matter of fact, we asked him about on when we were discussing Black History Month. He said his approach to Black History Month was to get the smartest people in the world in a room and figure out this problem. And he included white people. He said this problem would not be solved by black people alone. And he was very emphatic about that. Also, I looked at his comment on justice when he spoke about not mistreating anyone. He didn't say don't mistreat. He was not specific about race. He said don't mistreat anyone and making sure that those that need help get the most constructive help. So I think that was kind of a ambivalence. I think it was symbiotic. But he did, like you said that they are all racist until they're suspected racist until they prove otherwise.
All right, Mark. Well, if you
go to the code book, there isn't a single page in there where he accuses white people of anything.
Right.
In fact, he makes a clear distinction between white people in general and white supremacists. Okay. Those are two distinct, separate things. And it's all through the book. He's talking about white supremacy, people who mistreat other people on the basis of color. He doesn't say white people. He doesn't hit it with a broad stroke like that. No, go ahead.
Speaking about the code, but when people speak about race, and I think I'm quoting this correctly, he said there were three races: white, non-white, and white supremacy.
Yeah,
he did make that clear distinction.
Yeah. Under the system of white supremacy, because that's how white supremacy classify the world as white, non-white, and white supremacy. Are all white people white supremacists? No. But he would call them suspects until proven otherwise. That's how he looked at it. But he would never accuse all white people of being white supremacists. That's a strict rule of the code book. You don't do that.
Yeah, because I recall a listener calling in and asking about Donald Trump, if Donald Trump is a racist. And then, you know, your dad, Mark, went, what is a racist? He went, let's define the word first. Growing up, is that how he taught you to decipher problems?
Yeah. When it comes to people interaction, he always taught me to don't really pay too much attention to what people say, because people say anything. But you go by what they do. What they do will tell you way more than what they say. And if what they do is just, that tells you something. If they do something that's unjust, that will tell you something. And that's how he wanted me to approach people. You don't prejudge anybody. But you just observe and ask questions. Questions and answers.
Yeah, he was big on questions and answers. Family just checking in. Neely Fuller Jr., that's what we're discussing. Made his transition on February the 1st. He was 95. With him, you just heard, that's his son, Mark Fuller. And also Robert Gatewood, who hosted his podcast that he did. And they're still doing their podcast. But let me ask both of you fellas this before we go to Professor Small's on deck. Before we go to Professor Small, Neely Fuller spoke sometimes about the days when he would not be with us. Robert, how did he want us to remember him?
Well, he spoke about this on his podcast, and people ask oftentimes about, Mr. Fuller, what are we going to do when you're no longer here? Well, first of all, he did not see himself as a leader, a savior, or a hero. He described himself as a student, and one of his most famous quotes was, I'm still learning. He saw himself as a victim and a prisoner in his prison yard. He rejected titles like civil rights leader, experts. He often spoke about his role as an observer, as an analyzer, and he would report on what he could logically prove about racism. So to him, life wasn't about recognition or celebration. It was an assignment to reduce confusion and replace racism with a system of justice. That was his calling. And that's how he wanted to be remembered.
Yeah, and I would like to add, he wasn't really particularly interested in even being remembered at all. but he wanted the material, the work.
That's right.
To be remembered. He says, don't focus in on the purpose, on the person. Focus in on the work. He says, that's why he wrote the book, so he would not have to be here forever. You know, leave something behind, you pick it up, use what is useful, ignore what is not useful. It's not a Bible. He didn't consider it to be a holy book of any kind. It was supposed to be a workbook with emphasis on work. And he would prefer people to put into practice what is taught in the code instead of celebrating him as an individual.
That's so true. So true.
Gotcha. Well, I'll share this with you. I'm still learning. I use that quite a bit. And you know, I'm still learning. I'm learning some things every day, especially on this program. I learned some things from you fellas. So, and that was one of his, when, you know, Kevin calls him for the program. He says, how you doing, Mr. Fuller? I'm still learning. And so I think all of us, you know, because you got to keep learning to be growing. So I'm still learning. Fellas, let me say this before I let you guys go. It's great conversation, reminiscing about Neely Fuller. Before we let you go, though, Robert, how can we get those podcasts? Are they still out there?
The podcasts are still out there. As a matter of fact, we're working on some things right now. We have the Counter Racist Code show comes on every Tuesday at 9 a.m. And you can listen to all of the shows by going to producejustice.com. We have a few projects in the work. We have a leather-bound collection of items that has been very popular. Matter of fact, we only got about a few left, maybe about four or five of them left. We also have a hardcover of his original, his expanded edition book, and we have an audio book coming out soon. So just stay in tune with the website, listen to the podcast at producejustice.com, and to all of the people who want to follow the legacy and the works of Mr. Fuller, we're keeping it going. That's the object of the show, to keep his legacy alive.
All right. Mark, let me just thank you for sharing your